ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Jesus claimed over and over and over again that he's Almighty God. And again, in your Bibles, most of the translations have it like this, John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, take he out. It doesn't belong there. It's not part of the scriptures. The translators added it for clarity. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The ego am I. Almighty God, the voice from the burning bush. That's why they're so mad at him. That's why they kept picking up stones to stone him, because they thought he was doing blasphemy. And when you blaspheme God, the punishment is stoning. But he is God. And if you don't believe that he is Almighty God, the one who came to save you from your sins, you're going to die in them. We were all born in Adam. That's our physical birth. What's the problem with that? For as in Adam, all die. And I always find it interesting, you know, for evolution, several years back, remember the common ancestor they called what? Who do they call our common ancestor? Eve. Isn't that interesting? We all came from one woman. Well, yeah, and man. That's how it works. But in Adam, we all die. Why? Because Adam sinned. And that sin nature is passed down to each and every one of us. And in Genesis 5, we get the genealogy from Adam onward. And we're told that Adam was made in the likeness of God. Isn't that amazing? Adam was created in the likeness of God. What does that mean? Means that he was a triune being, in that man has a consciousness or soul. He has a body and he has a spirit. So Adam was created in the image of God, our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Adam sins, right? And the sin nature is passed on. Now, who are we created in the image of? Very interesting, Genesis 5:3, that Adam begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and he named him Seth. No longer created in the image of God. Why? Because the spirit was dead. And apart from God, our spirit is dead. We don't have that relationship with God anymore. We're born in this world, physical birth in Adam, spiritually dead. And what's the solution then? We need to be born what? Oh, again. Why? Because that sin nature destroyed our spiritual relationship with God. So we have to be born again. That spirit nature has to come back to life. We know the difference in our lives once we've come to Christ. We're changed. Think about the things in the scriptures that maybe you read them before. I didn't really read the, you know, when I was young, my parents had a Bible. It was one of those big ones on the coffee table. I don't know if anyone has coffee tables anymore. We never drank coffee on them, so I'm not sure why they're called that. But I'm moving away from what I'm talking about. But we had a big Bible, and there were pictures in it. And I looked at the pictures, you know, and that was about it. We never read it. But once you come to Christ, those, as you're reading those scriptures, don't they come alive again? All of a sudden you're like, wow, I've read that like 50 times, and now I see it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is opening it up to you. Why? Because you're in communion with God. That's what born again is all about. In 1 John 5:19, we know that we are children of God and that all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. Look at what's going on in the world today. Your heart breaks when you see what's going on. Apart from Christ, a person belongs to Satan, whether they like it or not. He's under their control. And Jesus said in John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because their spirit's dead. They need to be born again in Christ. So where do you belong? In Adam or in Christ? In Adam, you're dead in your trespasses and sins because you're created in the image of Adam who sinned. Or in Christ, you're born again. And that spiritual relationship with God has been restored. You can have fellowship with God. In fact, in Hebrews it says we could boldly come before the throne of God. Remember, you couldn't do that before. Why? Because sin separated you from God. Remember the temple? There was the holy place where the priests could go, and then the Holy of Holies that had this curtain that was, I think it was 12, 13 inches thick, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant, if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, you know, watch the Indiana Jones movie, you'll see it. The Ark of the Covenant was there. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, again, there's a picture of what it looked like there on the wall, but inside the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, once a year on the Day of Atonement. After he had done ceremonial cleansings for himself, he would enter in. He had bells on his robe, and he had a rope on his foot. And he would enter into the Holy of Holies, and he'd sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for his sins and the sins of the nation. God says he dwells above the Ark of the Covenant. He sits above the mercy seat. Inside the Ark is the law. Now there's blood covering it. And what does God see? Sees the cleansing. And that's what God has done in our lives, guys. He made us alive who were dead in our trespasses and sins, Paul said in Ephesians. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But by Christ we've been saved. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. We were spiritually dead, and in Christ we're alive. We're born again. And as Paul said in Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14, for he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son and bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. Praise God for that. You know, I don't think we understand the totality of what Jesus has done for us, because, again, we don't understand all what the punishment was like. He bore not only our sins, but the punishment for our sins. He took that on the cross of Calvary. When he bore the sins of the world at noon, there was darkness from noon to 3 p.m. as he bore the sins of the world. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't understand that pain. God turned his face from the Son because he bore the sins of the world. And when he gave up his spirit, as he gave up his spirit, I should say, he said, tetelestai, paid in full, it's finished. The work is done. And on that third day, he rose from the grave on the Feast of First Fruits. And since he rose, we too will one day rise. There's going to be a great harvest of souls, right? Absolutely. Life in Jesus. And we could share that with people as Jesus is sharing with these religious leaders. And many times what happens is they refuse to hear. They don't want to hear what you have to say, right? Look at verse 25 here in John chapter 8. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Now, I guess the question is here, how did they ask, who are you? I mean, was this a serious question by these guys? Who are you, Jesus? Just tell us. Well, it wasn't a serious question. It was more sarcastic. Who do you think you are, pretty much? Because Jesus told them over and over who he was. It wasn't a question on their part. They just refused to believe. They rejected it. They saw the miracles that he had done. They refused to believe that he did them. They said it was done by demonic forces. He could never do that. What they're trying to do is trap Jesus, not find out who he really is. And, you know, haven't you dealt with people that really aren't interested in what you have to say about Jesus, and they try to make fun of you and God? They may say a foolish thing like, you know, if God could do anything, right? God can do anything. Oh, yeah. Well, can God make a rock that's so big he can't lift it? Oh, I got you now. Well, let me ask you this. Have you stopped beating your wife? Well, yeah. Oh, so you were beating your wife? Well, no. So you're still beating her? See, it's not a yes or no answer. And that's the problem. Let me explain it this way. Are there some things that God can't do? Yeah. There are things that God can't do. The Bible tells us. God can't ignore sin. He's a righteous God. He can't ignore it. God cannot lie. I'm so thankful for that, right? God cannot change. Well, yeah, what he said in Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22, I can trust. He can't deny himself. Yeah, Jesus, we see that with him. He cannot fail. I'm so thankful for that. He cannot break a promise. Can you imagine? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You get to heaven, guy goes, just joking. No. He made a promise to us. God's intent and power cannot be stopped, even though these worldly leaders think they're in control. It's so funny to watch what's going on in the world. God had already told us in the Old Testament that there is going to be a formation of a one-world government. 1967, the Club of Rome laid it all out. For us, Canada, United States, Mexico. It's already been established many years ago. We now are seeing the formation of that. We're a sovereign nation, so something drastic has to happen to us so that sovereignty is taken away. So these guys think they're in power. One world religious system. Don't we see that happening? Look at what the Pope is doing, trying to unite the religions of the world. God's intent and power cannot be stopped, even though the world thinks it can. God's word cannot be broken. You can trust it. And here's one that is so precious. God cannot stop loving you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, right? I am so thankful that God cannot stop loving me and you. We need to hold on to that truth. But for these Pharisees, they shut their ears to what Jesus was saying because he told them over and over and over again who he was. They refused to listen. And the words that Jesus spoke came from the Father. So if they can't accept what Jesus is saying, then they're also rejecting the words of the Father. One writer said this, I could speedily expose all your iniquities, your pride, ambition, your hypocrisy and irreligion, your hatred to the light, and your malice against the truth, together with the present obstinate unbelief of your hearts, and show that these are the reasons why I say you will die in your sins. That's pretty straightforward. That's exactly right. Jesus is nailing them. I think, again, and I've said this a lot, from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus told them who he was, and they ignored it. This was, again, a put-down, a sarcastic question. Who do you think you are? In fact, Jesus said to the religious leaders in John 5, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. But it is these that testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. You think you're so smart. You think you're so religious. You think you know God. And you're searching the scriptures to find this everlasting life. But they all speak about Jesus, right? They all speak about him. And they missed that because they weren't willing to come to him. You know, it's sad when people hear the truth, know the truth, and reject the truth. Here's a really good example of that. Many years ago, Dr. A. Alice, he was a chemist, pioneered the development of insulin for the treatment of diabetes. Guess what he died of? Diabetes. His friends who were closest to him came to one of two conclusions. Either he didn't know he had the disease, or he purposely neglected to use the remedy. Think about that. The irony with all that. The man who knew more about the cure for diabetes than anyone else in the whole world died of the disease. We don't know what the reason was, but if he knew his condition, how sad, how tragic, right? He didn't even take the insulin that was used to save others. The one thing he created, he didn't even use it. But let's apply this now to our lives. A person can know that Christ is the I am. He can give all of his mind to that, but unless there comes a belief that involves receiving the cure, he's going to die in his sins. And the Jews lacked that belief. They knew about God. They knew about the Messiah coming. They just didn't see him in Jesus. And people do that today. They reject the cure for their sins. They reject Jesus. And John says they didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father because they weren't listening. You know, when my son's kids were really young, he had a thing when they weren't paying attention. He would tell them, look at me, he would tell them. To get their attention, to help them, instead of, you know how kids are, they get distracted. I think God does that with us, right? Look at me. Trust in what I have to say. Don't refuse to hear me because God loves us. And here's the key, the last point. Look to the cross. Verse 28, Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." As He spoke these words, many believed. Notice what it says. When you, who's He speaking to? These Jewish religious leaders, these Pharisees. When you lift up the Son of Man, what He's saying? He's saying, you guys are going to be the ones that bring me before Pilate and put me to death. Were they accountable for their actions? Yeah. But so is every one of us, right? All of our sins put Jesus on that cross. So we can't blame the Jews or the Romans or anyone else except ourselves as well. And I think Jesus is clearly speaking about the cross here. Lift it up. Remember what He said in John 3:14-15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." You see, when Jesus is lifted up, they're going to see His perfect obedience to the Father. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's crying out, sweating drops of blood. And He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane in agony. And then He says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done." And He went into that garden in agony, and He left that garden in peace and went to the cross of Calvary and paid for our sins. Isn't that our heart's desire, to do those things that please God? "Lord, not my will. There's lots of things I want to do, and I just want to do your will. I want to follow you all the days of my life." And again, here in verse 28, when it talks about "I am He," the "He" again is in italics. It was added for clarity. It should say, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am." You'll know that I'm Almighty God. That voice from the burning bush. Again, this was not something that the Jewish religious leaders misunderstood. That's what a lot of cults will tell you. Oh, they just misunderstood Him. No, they knew exactly what He was saying. And here's the thing. The cross is at the center. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's interesting, there's an article many years ago about the geographical center of the city of London. It's Charing Cross. And you could find your way anywhere in London if you are at Charing Cross. And the story's told of this little boy who was lost. And a bobby came along and wiped his tears away. And when he had gotten him settled, he said, "Can I take you home, son?" The boy replied, "Oh, no, sir. Take me to the cross and I'll find my way home." When we orient ourselves to the cross, we begin to see the I Am, the eternity and magnificence of God. We enter in by faith. And Jesus is showing us, look, I'm Almighty God. This is why I could speak these things. Think about over the thousands of years, all the religious leaders that have come and gone, all these people that thought they were God that have come and gone. That's all you could say. They're gone, right? Did they come back? Well, there's only one who's come back, and that's Jesus. I think I'll stick with Him, huh? The gospel message, what Jesus Christ has done for us, is what we're to present to people. We're to let them see Jesus high and lifted up. Why? So they can come to saving faith. And these Jewish religious leaders, they're opposing Jesus, and they will continue to oppose Him all the way to bringing Him to Pilate to be crucified. And here's the thing. Jesus came to save man from his sin. Everyone has that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It wasn't just for some, you know, religious people. And religious is a bad word today. I think when religion was spoke about back years ago, not as bad today. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. How do you reach God? You don't. God reaches you. That's always the key. And, you know, some Pharisees believed, not many, but some did. Some of them were kind of closet Christians, you might say. Why? Because they didn't want to lose their position. Nicodemus is one of those. Nicodemus came to Jesus that night. I think he became a believer. And other Jewish people who were in that area of the treasury in the court of the women listened and accepted. Many believed. And why were people drawn to Jesus? Think about that. Why? Because the words of Jesus matched his life. The lifestyle of the Pharisees didn't. They were not a very nice group of people. The people saw that the relationship Jesus had with the Father, they want it. The Pharisees couldn't have it. That was one of the problems with Paul, Saul, before he got saved, is that he saw Stephen having a relationship with God that he wanted, and he couldn't have according to the law. He knew he fell short, and it just bothered him so much. And after Stephen was martyred for his faith by the Jewish religious leaders, Paul went on a rampage to take Christians out of their homes, bring them before the Pharisees. He was on the road to Damascus to get the Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem. And God got a hold of Paul and knocked him down, right? And Jesus said to him, you know, Paul, it's kind of hard to kick against the goads, isn't it? Kind of hard to fight against God. And I love the response of Paul. Who are you, Lord? And I could be wrong, but I personally believe that Paul was going, please don't be Jesus. Please, please don't be Jesus. Please. I am Jesus. Ah, I knew it. But he comes to saving faith. He wanted that deep relationship with God. And you know, the only way you're going to have that is through Jesus. How do we come to the Father? Through the Son. Through Jesus. There's a certain pastor that observed a little girl standing outside the preschool Sunday school classroom. And it was between Sunday school and worship, waiting for her parents to come and pick her up for, you know, big church. And the pastor noticed that she clutched a big storybook under her arm with the title, Jonah and the Whale. Well, feeling mischievous, he knelt beside the girl and asked, what's that you have in your hand? Well, this is my storybook about Jonah and the whale, she answered. Well, tell me something, he continued. Do you believe the story about Jonah and the whale? The girl said, why, of course I believe it. Well, the pastor inquired further. You really believe a man can be swallowed up by a big whale, stay inside him all that time, and come out okay? She declared, yes, the story is in the Bible, and we talked about it in Sunday school. The pastor asked, can you prove to me the story is true? And she kind of thought about it for a moment, and she said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. Well, the pastor asked, what if Jonah's not in heaven? The girl put her hands on her hips and declared, then you can ask him. You got to love that, right? The faith of the little girl. And you know, our hearts here at Calvary is to instill in our children the things of God so they can grow up believing in them. And may we as adults not harden ourselves to the things of God. Is that story of Jonah true? Absolutely, because Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Jesus spoke about it. It's true. Well, what about, you know, this evolution thing? Jesus said in the beginning, when God created them, male and female. Oh, there we go. Who do you want to believe? Look at the evidence. Look at the fossil record. What do you have? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. How did that happen? Laid down by water. I mean, how many fossils are being formed today? Very few. Why? Because it needs to happen rapidly. I have pictures of fossils of fish giving birth, fossils of fish preparing to eat another fish. How does that happen? It's got to happen quickly. You see, when fish die, they kind of float to the surface, right? Birds and other animals eat them. There's no fossil record. Go look at the fossil record. We have trees that are through millions of layers of rock layer. How does that happen? Well, it didn't grow through millions of years. It was laid down by, this tree was laid upright. Sediment came upon it as the floodwaters were receding. And now you have the impression that this tree grew through millions of years of rock layers. No way. May we, like this little girl, stand up for what we believe in. Because we either believe Jesus is Almighty God and everything that he has said in his word is true, or we negate everything and go home. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He has never lied to me. And the more I search the scriptures, the more I understand all that God has done for me. He's done for you. Jesus is Almighty God. He saved me from my sins. He saved you from your sins. And if you don't want to believe it, Jesus says, you will die in your sins if you don't believe I am. You see, it's a story of life and death. But Jesus doesn't want us to die in our sins. He wants us to have everlasting life that's only found in him. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning and just how it encourages our hearts to see the love you have for people. Even these Jewish religious people who were so antagonistic against you, you kept trying to draw out their faith. And yes, there came a point where they had passed that point of no return. But you still ministered and ministered over and over trying to show them. And Lord, you do that today. And we're so thankful you don't give up on people. Lord, for any here or listening on the radio or the internet that don't know you, I pray, Lord, soften their hearts, open their eyes, help them to see Jesus. And for all of us, Lord, encourage us in our faith as we walk with you. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.